الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. صدق الله العظيم. Throughout a person's life, from the time a person is a child till the time he becomes an adult, there are different occasions that will come about wherein he needs to make a decision, he needs to make a choice. As a child, those decisions, those choices tend to be easy. And those choices and those choices that he will need to make is something that will be restricted to him. It will not affect anyone else. So as a child, he will need to make a choice. What sweet should I buy? What toy should I choose? And like that, he will carry on as a child. Those decisions do not affect anyone else around him. It does not have far-reaching consequences. However, as an adult, as we grow up, when a person needs to make a decision, when a person needs to make a choice, then these decisions and choices at times have far-reaching consequences, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those surrounding us, in our near and dear ones as well. When it comes to the Deen of Islam, just as how we have guidelines for each and every sphere of our lives, we also have guidelines as to how we should go about making decisions, how we should go about making choices. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, "Ma khaba man istakhar wa la nadima man istashar." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person who makes istikhara, that person who asks Allah Ta'ala for goodness, this person will never be at a loss. وَلَا نَذِمَ مَنْ إِسْتَشَارَ. And that person who engages in consultation, that person who consults others, he makes mashwara, then this person will never regret, he will never have any remorse. So these two points mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is extremely important when we want to make an important decision in our lives. Why will we make istikhara? Why will we ask Allah Ta'ala for goodness? Because we can only see so much. Our sight is limited. We will look at something and say that this seems to be better according to how we understand it. But Allah Ta'ala alone knows what is in the future. Allah Ta'ala alone knows what is best. So we will make istikhara. We will ask Allah Ta'ala for goodness. Why? Because He knows what is better. So we are making dua that, oh Allah, I am making this decision. I am taking this path. Ya Allah, You make it the best decision for me. So this is istikhara. And together with that, we have mashwara, consultation. Mashwara is a very important and beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether we realize it or not, in our daily lives, our daily activities, we consult others, we seek advice from others in whatever it is that we do in our worldly activities. For example, a person at home, there is something wrong with the plumbing, he will call a plumber. A person, there is something wrong with his health, he will see a doctor. He has a problem with his heart, he will see a heart specialist. Like that, in our daily activities, in a person's life, a person will see and consult others, he will make mashwara, he will consult them. In fact, in the Quran Majeed, where Allah Ta'ala mentions an entire surah called Surah Ash-Shura, Surah of Consultation. In the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions some beautiful qualities of the mu'mineen, of the believers. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Those people who answer the call of their Rabb and they establish salah, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And their affairs are decided through mutual consultation. This is a beautiful quality of the believers that is mentioned by Allah Ta'ala. So this is something which is extremely important and something which we daily engage in whether we realize it or not. And one of the beautiful benefits of consultation, of mashwara, is that we are taking from the next man's experience. We are taking from the next person, whatever experiences he had, whatever knowledge he has with regards to that science or in that department, we will take from his knowledge, we will take from his experience. One is a person can go down the path himself. He will burn his fingers. He will get hurt. At times he can even suffer great loss. But the easier and better way will be that you will consult and seek advice from a person who has been down that path already. Many times you see when people consult with others, so he says, you know, I have a certain plan, this is my idea, this is the path I want to choose. So the next person tells him, but you know, if you look at it this way, this seems to be harmful, this seems to be something which is dangerous. And when he consults with him, then he says, you know, I didn't look at it that way. Now I'm looking at it from your perspective, it seems to be dangerous, it seems to be harmful. So this is from the beautiful benefits of mashwara, of consultation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he explains mashwara, consultation, جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ رَحْمَةً لِأُمَّتِي. That Allah Ta'ala has made consultation, mashwara, a great mercy for the believers, a great mercy for my ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَمَنْ شَاوَرَ مِنْهُمْ لَمْ يَعْدَمْ رُشْدًا. That if a person has to engage in consultation, then inshallah he will not lose out on guidance. Meaning he will be guided in the decision that he needs to make. Now just as how in our daily activities, in our worldly affairs, we understand that a person will consult with those people experienced and knowledgeable in those fields. In the same way, in our dini lives, in our lives as believers, in our lives as Muslims, it is also extremely important that we engage in consultation, we seek advice from those people who are learned in the fields of deen. Unfortunately, we seem to have double standards. That when it comes to our worldly activities, if a person is building a house, he will consult with the architects, with the engineers. If a person needs a doctor, he will make sure that he goes to the best. Why? Because he does not want to compromise on his own health, on his own well-being. In the same way, when it comes to us making decisions in our dini lives, when it comes to our dini activities, we should also be consulting with the ulama, those people who are learned in those fields. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sounded a warning in one hadith that a time is going to come upon this ummah when people will not refer to the ulama, people will not refer to the knowledgeable and experienced. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'ajabu kulli dhi ra'in bi ra'ihi." One very bad quality that will come into the ummah is that every person will be happy and pleased with his own opinion. He will be pleased with his own opinion. He will not seek the advice, he will not seek the counsel of the ulama and the learned. In fact, if you look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, we all know, we all understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with the best of intelligence. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not need to consult. He did not need to make mashwara with anyone. Why? Because he had the greatest intelligence. He was receiving wahi directly from the side of Allah. However, Allah Ta'ala himself in the Quran Majid directs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to consult and make mashwara with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah Ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, that in important affairs, in affairs that affects the society at large, consult with the Sahaba. Consult with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That is why you will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on different occasions consulting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, seeking their opinions. Before the battle of Badr was fought, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted the Sahaba. The kuffar are gathered there. Are you ready to come out for jihad? They answered positively. Before the battle of Uhud, again Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consults the Sahaba. Do we remain in Madina Tayyibah or do we go out and fight against the kuffar? Again in the battle of Khandaq, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were being attacked from all sides by the kuffar. They needed a plan, they needed an idea in order to defend themselves against the kuffar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consults the Sahaba what plan of action should be taken. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhum, a Persian Sahabi, gives the idea that the trench should be dug around Medina Tayyiba. The trench will serve as a means of defense against the attack and onslaught of the kuffar. This idea was not something which was known to the Arabs. This was not how they used to conduct warfare. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he consulted with them, and he even took the opinion of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that is why this battle was known as the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. So these are few examples in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he himself engaged in consultation, in mashwara. You look into the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was known for his intelligence. In fact, he was even known for muwafaqat. Muwafaqat are those instances which happened on many occasions where Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a certain opinion. Allah Ta'ala reveals wahi and he gives the command according to that opinion of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So much of knowledge he had, so much of intelligence. Yet when he became the Khalifa, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not engage in any activity, or he did not make any decision without first consulting his panel of ulama. He had a panel of advisors. These people used to remain in the majlis of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to consult with them whenever there was any important matter that needed to be decided. It is mentioned, وَكَانَ الْقُرَىٰ أَصْحَابَ مَجْلِسِ عُمَرْ وَمُشَاوَرَتَهُ, that the Qura, the learned ulama and the pious, these were the people who used to remain in the majlis of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and who he used to consult with. In fact, in the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is an incident mentioned how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to consult. On one occasion, he is out on a journey. He is traveling towards the land of Sham. As he is going, the leader of his army who was out, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in this land of Sham, at the moment there is a plague. If you are going to go further, it is possible you and the entire army can fall ill and can pass away. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu do not know, do I carry on forward, do I go into Sham, or do I return to Medina Tayyiba? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu consults the three different groups of Sahaba on three different occasions, consulting with them and asking them, do we continue on our journey to Sham, or do we return to Medina Tayyiba? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu consulted them three times, and then only he made the decision that we will return to Medina Tayyiba. This was how he had conducted, and this should be the conduct of a mu'min, a conduct of a believer, that whenever there is any important affair, any important matter, we should consult with those around us, consult with the learned, consult with the ulama. So the question comes about, in what matters, in what affairs, should I consult, should I ask those around me? So number one, masail. If you look into the Quran Majid, you will find on many occasions Allah Ta'ala makes mention, yas'alunaka maada yunfikun, yas'alunaka anil khamri wal maysir, yas'alunaka anil anfal, yas'alunaka anil mahid. These are all occasions when Sahaba came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guidance with regards to these masail, with regards to these different important aspects. In the same way, in our daily activities, at times we do not have knowledge what is halal, what is haram. We are engaged in business transactions, in business dealings, but we do not understand that this deal that we are engaged in is actually a form of interest, is a form of riba. So when it comes to masail, when it comes to us engaging in transactions, when it comes to masail of salah, of fasting, of going for hajj, of whatever it is that it may be, we should consult the ulama, consult those people who have the knowledge in deen. So they will guide us and they will save us from earning the displeasure of Allah in our actions. So this is masail. Number two, in our daily physical affairs, our physical activities, a person's physical life. Whether a person is getting married, a person is going through difficulty in his marriage, and now he is about to enter into divorce. This also we should seek advice from the ulama, seek counsel from them, seek guidance. Also when it comes to our relationship with our children, many a time a person as a parent does not know and understand how he should go about raising up his child as a Muslim child. At times a person is sending his child to a wrong school, and those wrong influences are now being rubbed onto the child, and now he is being brought up in a kuffar environment, and he begins to speak words of kuffar. But the reason for this happening is that parents did not seek guidance from the ulama how he should be raising the child. Also when it comes to spiritual affairs, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to constantly come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and relate to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what is happening to them. The famous incident of Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had that fear within him that he had become a hypocrite. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explains his situation. A youngster from the Quraysh, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant me permission to commit zina. Grant me permission to commit zina." This was a spiritual ailment that was within him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully explains to him, "Would you like someone to commit zina with your mother? Would you like someone to commit zina with your sister?" And like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to him the harm, the ill effects of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then makes dua for him. He places his hand on him and he makes dua for him. Thereafter, this youngster who had that spiritual ailment, he leaves the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not did not have any desire thereafter to commit this evil action of zina. So they came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and explained to them those conditions that they are going through. We should not feel shy to go up to the ulama, go up to those people who are experienced, and we should relate to them what spiritual ailments we are going through. And also extremely important in today's times, we should seek counsel, advice from the ulama, make mashwara with them when it comes to new ideologies that are coming about. This is something we learn from the lives of Sahaba and Tabi'in as well. On one occasion in the land of Basra, the people began a new sect or a new ideology, which was, the sect was known as Qadriya. They did not believe in Taqdeer. So two Tabi'in who had come from the land of Basra, they had seen these people who were promoting this ideology, that these people outwardly seem to be very pious. They seem to know the Quran and Majid very well. If you look at them, you will say, definitely these people are pious, we should follow them. However, they do not jump to conclusions. They were Tabi'in. So they said, let us seek counsel and advice from our seniors. So they waited on the occasion of Hajj or Umrah. They went to the lands of Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah. They wanted to meet a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explain to that Sahabi what is the full condition and situation in the land of Basra, what these people are saying, what is their condition, and what this Sahabi has to say with regards to it. They were Tabi'in. They themselves had knowledge of deen. But when it came to this new ideology, they wanted to ask Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what did they feel? So on the occasion of Hajj or Umrah, they met Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, and they explained to him that these people do not believe in taqdeer. They say that everything happens all of a sudden, but at the same time, outwardly they seem to be very pious. Outwardly they seem to be, they have great knowledge of deen. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma told them that these people, if they do not believe in taqdeer, they are out of the fold of Islam. They are out of the fold of Islam. So what we learn from this is that these tabi'in, although outwardly these people seem to be pious, but it was a new sect, a new ideology, which was out of the fold of Islam. They had to seek advice and counsel from their seniors, who at that time happened to be the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In today's times, in social media, a person comes across many articles, a person comes across a person on the street also who may tell you certain things. He may invite you towards, na'udhu billah, swearing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He may invite you towards believing that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had left the fold of Islam, na'udhu billah. He may invite you towards leaving out, following one of the four imams. Like this, a person will invite you towards different ideologies, different from what you had learned before. Before a person jumps to conclusions, before you look at a person and say, you know, he seems to be pious, definitely what he is saying is right. You should seek advice, consult the ulama, consult those people who are knowledgeable in deen and seek guidance from them. On one occasion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are no longer with us in this world, if you are no longer with us in this world, and we have to come across a situation where we do not find guidance in the Quran Majeed and in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing explicit that is mentioned with regards to the situation that we are facing. What should we do? What should we do in that situation? Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Tushawirun al fuqaha wal abidin." Seek counsel, seek advice. Make mashwara with the fuqaha, with those people who have deep knowledge of deen, together with those people who have dedicated their lives to the ibadat of Allah. وَلَا تَمْذُوا فِيهِ رَأْيَ خَاصًا. Do not go about reaching your own conclusions. Do not reach your own conclusions. Do not bring your own opinion into it. Rather follow the guidance of the fuqaha and the abideen that are there around you. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing alive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all facets of our lives. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.